Into the Light Ministries is proud to present Your Alarm Call with Reverend Ron Bernier. Now we ask you to sit back and open your mind and your spirit to what God has to say to you on Your Alarm Call.
I want you to hear what God has to say to you. Because I began to look back at Daniel and I said, Daniel is not a very big book. It's only 12 paragraphs long. And I began to study the book of Daniel. See, I'm going to take a lot of work off your back because I did the study for you. But I studied the book of Daniel, and I found out that there were five things, count them, five things that Daniel did in his life. Five things that Daniel did that lifted him up, that brought him far above anybody else around him. Five things that caused God to send his angel to say, Daniel, you made it. And when I seen those five things, I said, that's my ticket home. That's the way to go. All I gotta do is those five things. Plus the other things God has already told me naturally, but these five things I have to get a hold of and I have to do. So if you would, let's begin back in Daniel, first chapter, chapter 1. In Daniel chapter 1 and in verse 8, if you got a pencil and paper, write these down. A lot of people can't remember over three. I'm going to give you five things. So you got to write down all five of them. And each one of them is imperative. You must remember them and you must do them. Don't tell me you have faith without any works. You got to do them. Don't be a hearer of the word, be a doer of the word. What happened here, and let me give you some background, is Jerusalem was invaded. And their enemies were taking them back. What they had done is they had picked out the best of the bunch. They picked out the best looking, the prettiest, the most handsome of the men. They picked out the smartest, the ones who looked like they could do the best job in the king's palace, the ones that could be taught the king's language the easiest. In other words, they got the best of the best. They picked out the real winners here. And Daniel was one of those that they picked out. And in verse 8, they had put a commander over these people that they picked out. And they told this commander, they said, look, take these people and feed them the best food that we have to offer. Take it right off the king's table. Give them the best food. Give them the best wine. Give them that which they need. Give them the oil rub downs. Give them the whole thing. Because we want them to be happy. We want them to be healthy, and we want them to learn. But like I said last week, the Jews, the Israelis, were a different type of people at best. Because they had their own God, they had their own rules, they had their own way of doing things, they even had their own food. And they ate certain foods on certain days in certain ways. And of course, They didn't want this done in this new kingdom. They wanted them to eat off the king's table. But this is what the word of the Lord says. They came to Daniel with that, and they said, here, we're going to give you the best. But Daniel made up his mind. Now, the word made up here is to literally dig your heels in the sand, in the rock, like a mule does, to hold on despite anything. You are not about to be moved. You are where you're at, and you're going to stay there. Nothing and nobody, no how, is going to move you. That's just the way it is. That's what the word means. But Daniel made up his mind that he would not defile himself with the king's choice food or with the wine which he drank. So he sought permission from the commander of the officials that he might not defile himself. Now, this very request could have got him killed. The very fact that he went up and requested it could have got him killed. But he had no fear of that whatsoever. His fear was of God and God only. Daniel made up his mind. That's the first thing he did. He made up his mind. All sin, or good deeds for that matter, come from the mind first. They come from the mind and they're carried out through the body. The sin is not when you're in the motel room with the other guy's wife. The sin is 2 weeks back there when you started thinking about it and started fantasizing about it and started wondering how you were going to set this up. That's when the sin occurred. And the same thing is true with the good works, which Jesus has made up in advance to be brought before us in its proper time. But Daniel made up his mind. He was going to die if he had to. That he would not defile himself. I wonder how many of you today are willing to make up your mind. Life or death situation. Make up your mind. Life or death. You are not going to defile yourself with the booze and the liquor of this world, with the clothing of this world, or lack of the nakedness of this world, the pornography of this world, the language, the gutter language, the off-color jokes of this world, all of the things that belong to the world, all the off-color jokes they tell at work, you know the ones I'm talking about, the ones you laugh at as you walk by, because you don't want to seem odd, you don't want to seem strange. In all the other thousand and one different things that go on, no big deal to steal a few pens from work, to stick them in your pocket and take them home with you. Stealing is stealing, no matter how small or how big. Daniel made up his mind. That's more than being teased about it. That's more than being worried about somebody thinking bad. He made up his mind. That was life or death. He made up his mind that there was no way he was going to defile himself. Let me tell you what the biggest defiler in the world is today. The biggest defiler that we have in the world, in the entire world, is what you're watching right now. Television. Now, if they had all television, and the television was overseen by a group of spirit-filled theologians who would make sure that only the right doctrine got on, That would be one thing. But that's not the case. At one point, one of the filthiest, dirtiest shows I've ever even heard of, I've never seen it, but I have heard about it, and I'm trying to remember the name of it, excuse me, Married with Children. Now, I've never seen that show, but I have heard about it, and I have heard about the filth that's on that program. That was one of the number one television shows of the year. Now, I don't know how long it stayed as number one, but it was number one for quite some time. And it was replaced, they tell me, by a television show that was dirtier, more permissive, more sex and filthier than the first one was. But again, having my choice, if I had to watch an X-rated movie or some of what you see on so-called Christian broadcasting, I think I'd pick the X-rated movie. At least I know what's coming there. At least I can close my eyes to that. But that which is supposed to be Christian TV, I might pick up something I might inadvertently believe. I might not check it out good enough. You wouldn't believe some of the nonsense I have heard on TV just recently. I happened to be flipping through the TV a while back. My wife keeps telling me, I don't know why you do that, all it does is aggravate you. But I'm flipping through it and one guy on there prophesies, this is a prophecy. He prophesies that Jesus Christ himself, Jesus himself, is going to appear at this guy's crusade a month down the road. Well, needless to say, Jesus got his calendar messed up that night. I don't know if he sent a sorry note or what, but he didn't make it. But the guy said that was all right, because then he had another prophecy. The next one scared me. The next one, he said, the day is coming, and this was all thus saith the Lord. This was prophecy. This was supposed to be from God. And he said, the day is coming very soon when the dead, are going to be dragged up to the TV set, and somebody going to hold their hand up to the TV set, and I'm going to put my hand on the camera, and the dead are going to be raised. This was supposed to be a prophecy from God. Now, there's a lot of foolish people out there. There really is. I've often prayed, God, take every gift there is away from the church. Please, God, take healing, take miracles, take music, take every gift there is, God, but give discernment. Oh, please, God, give discernment to your church. God, they'd believe anything. And he said, it's right there in my word. For in that day they will gather around them a large number of teachers, saying what their itching ears want to hear. And I could go on and on and on, because there's many statements in the word of God which attest to that fact. All the false Christ and the false prophets and the false messiahs. But you know what I'm worried about? Obviously, nobody is going to be raised from the dead. That isn't going to happen. What I am worried about is there is enough people out there, somebody is going to be out digging Aunt Susie up. You know it, and I know it. Somebody is going to say, well, you know, he's on tomorrow night, so we'll dig Aunt Susie up about 10 and then bring her over and just hold her, bones, I guess, up to the TV there. And as soon as she touches his hand, boy, she'll just be up and hopping around the living room here. I don't know what the crime is for digging up a dead body, but I'm sure they got one. Guy lives in a $5 million home. $5 million home. Him and his wife. I can understand why they need that much. Buy a new Learjet every few years. I certainly understand why they need that. But anyway, I don't want to get into him tonight, because if I do, I'll get angry, and I don't want to do that. I want to go back to Daniel. Daniel made up his mind that he would not defy himself. See if you can make up your mind tonight of one thing. Forget all the rest of the stuff. Just one thing. One thing. Can you go before God tonight? And can you say, God, I will not. I made up my mind. My feet are set in rock. I made up my mind. I will not watch that filthy, foul TV anymore. I'll pull the plug on it. If there's an educational program on for the kids, I'll plug it back in, and I'll let them watch something. And as soon as that's over with, I'll unplug it. But I won't allow that filthy thing to run night and day like I have been. You think you could do just that one thing? Or could you do something that's really dangerous? And I'm talking about dangerous, dangerous to your body. Can you say, God, tonight, I'm going into my teenager's room and unplug that rock and roll acid rock radio of his. Hip-hop, acid rock, whatever they call it, I'm going to unplug it. And that would probably be at the risk of your life. I don't know when it happened, but somewhere along the line, the parents became the servants of the kids. That's not the way God made it. They are under our headship. It's our house. We control what goes on. We set the standard. As for me and my house, we shall fear the Lord. We shall live in accordance to the Holy Spirit. We shall live in accordance to the Word of God. We shall do what God tells us to do. Anyway, that's just two little areas. I could go on all night long on this one verse, giving you areas that you probably don't have the courage not to defile yourself with anymore. Did you ever notice in the Sunday paper? I just noticed in last Sunday's paper. My wife had to go to the grocery store, and I was standing out in front of the grocery store waiting for her. And I happened to be looking down at the paper rack there, and they had their Sunday paper for sale. And after I got over the price of the Sunday paper, that about gave me a heart attack. I noticed that over the Sunday paper, they had this flyer, and it was about 10 or 12 pages thick. This was a local discount department store. I won't mention her name. You all know them anyway. But the first 4 or 5 pages, they were cut. The pages were cut so you could see each page. And the first 4 or 5 pages were nothing but extremely low-cut, see-through bras and panties. Now, this is the price, and they were selling them like for $1.19, $1.98, so they're not making any money on them. Why do you suppose the first 5 pages are women's underwear? And how many papers do they sell because the first 5 pages are women's underwear? No, just wanted to read about the war, honey. See how it was going over in Afghanistan. You bet. I got some swampland in Florida if you buy that one. How many things in this world? Think about it. God gave you a mind, use it. How many things would you be willing not to defile yourself with? Daniel said, there's no way. It isn't happening. Live or die, I am not going to defile myself. And the man, of course, gave him permission because he was doing what God told him to do. Let me tell you God's answer. If you go down to verse 20, still in chapter 1, verse 20, the word of the Lord says, and as for every matter of wisdom and understanding about which the king consulted them, he found them 10 times better than all of the magicians, the conjurers, who were in his realm, in all of his realm. Now here he's talking about Daniel and Meshach and Abednego, talking about the people he brought back from Jerusalem, the people who walked with their God, the people who would not defile themselves, the people who met the prerequisite, and God's promise was, I will now give you power over men, which everybody can see. What you did in secret will now be rewarded openly, where everybody can see it. You'll be 10 times smarter than the best of them. No matter what they do, you'll be 10 times better at it than they are. The promise of the Lord is that he will give you favor in the eyes of man. You want favor in the eyes of your boss? You want favor in the eyes of the other guys in the plant or where you work? You want favor in the eyes of the sergeant, lieutenant, or who's ever over you? You do what God told you to do, God will do his part without fail. God will do his part every time. If you would, let's go to 227. Chapter 2 and verse 27, Daniel answered before the king, and he said, as for the mystery about which the king has inquired, neither wise men, conjurers, magicians, nor diviners are able to declare it to the king. However, there is a God in heaven who reveals mysteries, and he has made known to King Nebuchadnezzar what will take place in the latter days. This was your dream and the visions in your mind while you laid on your bed. What happened was the king had went to bed and he had some disturbing visions and dreams. And he called in all of his diviners and all of his sorcerers and all of his magicians. And he said, I want you to tell me what my dream was last night, what my vision was last night, and what it meant. And they said, well, tell us what it is, and we'll tell you what it means. And he said, do I look that stupid to you? You tell me what I dreamt, and then tell me what it meant. None of them could do anything. And then somebody remembered Daniel. And they called in Daniel. But I want you to notice Daniel's answer. The way that Daniel answers. Daniel's already got the answer. He knows what it's all about. You know how most people would have went in there? 99% of the world would have went in there with this number, full of pride, saying, yeah, King, I got the answer for that one. I am the man, King. I have just arrived. I got your answer for you, King. I'm the man. But notice what Daniel says. Daniel doesn't say, I'm the man. Got your answer for you. He said, there's a God in heaven who reveals mysteries. How many times somebody asks you a question, room full of people, nobody got the answer but you, and you say, I'm smarter than all of you, I got the answer to that. Or do you say, God gave me the answer to that one? How many times has that happened in your life? In fact, how many times have you heard it in your life? Chances are never. God gave me the answer to that one. He wasn't seeking glory for himself. He was giving glory to God.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. And we ask you to tune in again next time to the alarm call. Remember, if you would like to contact us for prayer requests, or if you just need someone to talk to, you can reach us on the World Wide Web at www.intothelight.org. You can also send us traditional mail at Post Office Box 1523 in Hollister, Missouri, 65673. Please have a wonderful day, and may God be with you in all that you do.